Well, today we celebrate a great day in the Catholic Church, Groundhog's Day. I'm just teasing. It's the feast day of the presentation of the Lord in the temple. It is the fourth joyful mystery of the rosary. And every time we pray these set of mysteries, we meditate upon the obedience of Joseph and Mary taking the 40-day-old Jesus into the temple. They were not obliged to do this because, as you know, Mary did not need to be purified. She was the Immaculate Conception. Jesus did not need to be redeemed. He was the Redeemer. But they willingly subjected themselves and obeyed the Mosaic Law to give us an example of obedience to God and to His commandments. So today we meditate for a few moments here as we close officially the Christmas season today. We're now 40 days after Christmas. So today's feast day is called the Presentation of Jesus in the Temple and also the Purification of Our Lady. See, back in those days, in the Old Testament times, around the time of Christ, when a woman gave birth, she was considered ritually unclean for about 40 days after the birth of a male child. I believe 80 days after the birth of a female child. I think it had to do with the fact of the shedding of blood during childbirth and the idea of then being purified in the temple. Well, of course, Our Lady did not need to do this because her conception and birth was a miraculous birth of the Lord, but they went anyway. According to the law of Moses and Leviticus, that they would go to the temple and then she would go through certain purification rites, and then the child, the firstborn, would be dedicated and consecrated to God. So again, this goes back to the book of Exodus, that every male child that opens the womb shall be called holy by the Lord and consecrated and dedicated to the service of God. Well, since the Levites were the priests, the firstborn no longer had to become a priest, but they were still dedicated to God and they were God's property. And so when the firstborn came about, the parents would go on the 40th day and dedicate the child to God and give the child to God and hand the child to the high priest, who then would offer it and dedicate it to God. And then the parents had to redeem the child and, in a sense, make a trade. And they could trade, if they were a wealthy family, they would trade a lamb and then they would get back their son and then the lamb would be slain. If they were a poor family, they could either give two pigeons or two turtle doves, as it was in the case of Joseph and Mary, because they were a poor family. And they would then offer these doves or these pigeons. So the lamb would be sacrificed, or the pigeons or doves would be sacrificed, and then they got their child back. It was an exchange. That's what it means to redeem something. It's an exchange. You buy back this child. I'm old enough to remember green stamps. Anyone remember green stamps? As a kid, it was a lot of fun getting these green stamps and licking all of them, putting them in these books, and then going to the redemption store. And then you get a nice toaster oven or a blender with these green stamps. Well, that's what it was like. You had to redeem the child back. Now, it's very appropriate that the Holy Family used the turtle doves or the pigeons because their son was the true Lamb of God. So this whole ceremony takes place. They give the child to Simeon, and then they receive the child back. But what's very special about today is the fact that the Holy Spirit inspired Simeon, an elderly, righteous, devout man, to come to the temple at that very moment, because God had promised him he would not die until he gazed upon the Messiah, until he gazed upon the Lord. And now he comes to the temple. It's told to him interiorly that this is the Messiah. He takes Jesus in his arms and says, "Now I can die in peace. I've seen the Messiah. My eyes have seen the salvation. And this child will be the light of the Gentiles and the glory of Israel." So he'd come both to save the Jewish people and the Gentiles. He'd be the light of the nations. So today is a day of light. That's why we bless candles today, which will be used during the blessing of the throats tomorrow with same place. So Jesus is the light of the world, the Lumen Gentium, as Vatican II said, the light of the nations. But he's also the glory of Israel. This prayer, called the Nunc Dimittis, Now I May Die in Peace, is prayed every night in night prayer by all the priests and nuns and many lay people. Well, it says, Joseph and Mary marveled at what was being said about their child. It says, Simeon blessed them, gave them the priestly blessing. And then he says, he turns to Mary. He doesn't turn to Joseph. It's probably revealed to him that Joseph was not the father, that God himself was the Heavenly Father. But he turns to Mary, also indicating that Mary would be at the foot of the cross and Joseph would have died by that point. And he turns to Mary and says, This child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, the fall of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and the scribes, and the rise of the apostles. A sign that will be contradicted. Jesus is a sign of contradiction. Look at the cross. The cross is a contradiction. The vertical bar crossed by the horizontal bar. Jesus is a sign of contradiction. Then he says to Mary, a sword of sorrow will pierce your soul. This happened at the crucifixion. Jesus was already dead when the soldier thrust the sword, the lance, through Christ's heart. Mary was still alive. Jesus did not feel that, but Mary did. And there's two words in Hebrew for sword, and he used the long sword, not the dagger, but the ramphai, the long sword of sorrow would pierce her heart. And then this gospel concludes with another holy person coming on the scene, Anna the prophetess, who had been married for 7 years and then a widow for over 60 years. She was 84 years old. And it says she was in the church day and night in the temple, fasting and praying night and day, waiting for the Messiah. She was the original church lady, right? The person who always hangs out in the church. And so she's inspired and she meets Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And then it says she speaks about him to everyone in Jerusalem. She became an evangelist, a disciple, a great apostle of the faith, even at age 84. So what a great message that is for all of us. You know, some people say, well, I'm too old to go visit the shut-ins. I'm too old to go to the nursing homes. I'm too old to knock on doors. It's never too old to be in the Legion of Mary, right? You can be 84 years old. My mom is 89. My dad's 82. They're still active members of the Legion of Mary doing their evangelization, even in their 80s. So never say, I'm too old to share the faith with others. Anna the prophetess did it, and she was 84.